know the need. This is the fruit of experience. I believe that everyone needs some spiritual direction. I speak as one who over the years has been blessed in having good spiritual direction. We all sometimes need it. Notice I said sometimes. There is such a thing as a person not being able to make up their own mind. And the risk here, let me tell you, a younger person, not necessarily young in age, but young in spiritual life, will normally need more direction than people who are more mature and developed. There is such a thing as growing up, never completely graduating from the need for direction. I can speak this as a priest who, in my own faltering way, tries to direct other souls. I need it on occasion. But that the person is helped from the beginning to make decisions, and even important decisions, without always getting help. Secondly, some people need more than others. It's just a fact of life. Some people need more food, more sleep, more of whatever. Some people need more spiritual direction. And in directing others, there is great wisdom in early recognizing how much this person needs. And I distinguish between what this person wants and what he or she needs. As you know, there are many things we need that sadly we don't want. And there are many things that people want which they frankly don't need. So size up early the person's need. And in case of doubt, it is better to fail in terms of giving more than less. More direction rather than less. But there is a limit. And I would even say, for example, with people entering a religious community, if they are so obviously dependent on another person's judgment, even for trivial things, it may be the sign of humility, and the one directing must have the wisdom to distinguish. But it might be even a question of whether the person has a vocation. Because, as we know, after some time in the village's life, we've got to do a lot of things where we ourselves have to make the decision. Thirdly, and this is the big one in terms of need, it is not only because people psychologically need direction that we, as human beings, need to have people periodically advise us and give us encouragement. It's much deeper. The need for spiritual direction is based on the nature of the church. This is the Catholic Church. It is not Protestantism. In other words, we as Catholics believe that the church is a visible, sensibly perceptible, institution founded by Christ as the sacrament of salvation and sanctification. Unlike Luther and Calvin and the early reformers, who broke with the Catholic Church precisely over this and claimed each person can interpret the Scriptures for himself and depends only on the indwelling Spirit within the heart of the believer. You follow the logic? So that spiritual direction is of the essence of Catholicism. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people in the church today that have either forgotten it or no longer believe it. They won't even take direction, to put it mildly, from the Pope himself. You follow what we're saying? So spiritual direction is, in essence, a profession of my Catholic faith. Well, as a Catholic, I believe that Christ instituted a society which is to teach, is to direct, is to guide, and if need be, even command me to do or not do certain things in the name of Christ. You might say that spiritual direction is a refinement of the church's role in the world as the teacher of mankind. We don't just have the invisible Christ on earth, we have his vicar. And he's quite audible. And he's made sure he's also quite visible. And then the humility that is necessary to take this kind of direction from a person whom faith tells me is speaking with divine authority, or at least under divine guidance, that humility and faith will obtain graces for the one being directed, for which nothing will substitute. Now, a word of comparison. Comparison between what? Comparison between spiritual direction and, say, advice. Spiritual direction is not merely occasional advice that I get from someone. Again, spiritual direction is not exactly counseling, which people need, some more than others, to solve their problems or reach decisions. Let me spend a little time here. Now, the one giving direction may also give counsel. But counsel, properly so called, refers to enlightening the mind to reach a decision, either because of some problem or difficulty that the person is facing, or uncertainty about a decision the person would want to make for the future. And once the problem is resolved, then the need for the counsel ceases. Now, some people can run into problems more often than others. All right, so they get counsel. Somebody calls me up. This is every day one reason that superiors remove my second telephone. The switchboard complained. People whom many of whom I've never met, I got a call. I was putting my notes together for a class today, and I got a long-distance call. You want to take this call? Well, it was already on the line, so I took the call. And it took about 1 minute. I said, look, I'm preparing notes for a class, and I've got exactly 25 minutes to class. Will you excuse me? Well, the person has no choice. All I have to do is hang up what I want to hang up courteously and not brutally. So that was the end of that. Then I said I'd call back tonight, and I will. But counsel is for ad hoc, immediate needs that a person may have.
Okay.
That's not spiritual direction. People who are getting direction, they also have problems and want to reach a decision. All right. Well, then if I'm the director, I know the difference between directing this soul and trying to resolve a particular problem. And it may be that I'm not the one to solve the problem. I repeat, spiritual direction has to do with the interior movements of the soul. And before I leave this, let me add one more. That where people have problems or have to make decisions, that the help that I give people with their problems or to reach decisions may be helpful. In other words, the counsel that I give may help the person to reach the decision or solve the problem. But I would say, in general, to help people to reveal things about themselves which have to do with the movements of grace, rather than about all kinds of questions, and some people have a fertile imagination, all kinds of things they can think of which don't really have much to do with spiritual direction. Finally, therefore, spiritual direction is not only not just giving advice, it is not exactly counseling, it is emphatically not therapy. And in today's confused world, a lot of people need what we might call psychological counseling or emotional therapy. In other words, one thing that I think you should presume, certainly in a religious community, that whatever problems the people may have, that they are emotionally normal, that they are not psychotic or even neurotic. And this is why I've been urging, not always successfully, that those who are finally admitted into a community, from all the evidence you can gather, and not so much from tests, but from conversation, living with that person, to find out whether that person, say, does have some emotional trauma or difficulty which no amount of spiritual direction as such will resolve. And if the person from their early days, say even in the pre-postulancy, need to consult a psychiatrist, and maybe they do, the spiritual director should not replace the therapist. Now, some practical recommendations. I've been giving a few all along. I've got five more here which may branch off into more than five. First, there's a difference between a priest and one who is not a priest being spiritual director. Is it possible for a spiritual director, in all the ways we've described, not being a priest? Yes. But I would say the single most important need in one who, either by office or by choice, is directing another soul, the one directing must him or herself be very close to God. In other words, unlike counsel or advice, where the intelligence and experience of a person are almost built-in necessities, in spiritual direction, the single most important necessity is a deep spiritual life. Now, this stands to reason, because in the case of a priest, he may himself be confused, and we have enough confused priests in the church today to at least mention the fact. But a priest, in virtue of his ordination, has graces from God to give good spiritual direction, even though he himself may not be all that spiritual. Am I clear? Whereas anyone else who is not ordained cannot presume on that charism. Secondly, we've touched on this before. Let me say a little more about conflict between, and sometimes it's even among, directors. Either direction that may have been received, say, years back, or direction being simultaneously received from more than one person. My advice to priests is, where a person admits that they are getting direction from someone else, to tell these people, well, thanks, I can give you advice, but I think you should remain with your spiritual direction. Well, he's not so available. Well, that has nothing to do with it. If you really need direction, get it. Otherwise, so far from being directed, the person could be misdirected because of conflicting counsel that is given. In a religious community, the conflict may arise from different sources. See, those in formation, the conflict can arise between the one who is in charge of formation and, say, the superior. The conflict may arise between the one in charge of formation and the confessor. The conflict may arise between the one currently giving direction in charge of formation and someone with whom the person is still in contact. And for young people, especially home-loving people, and men too, but mainly with women, girls, they may have been so dependent, and laudably dependent, on their mother or father, that there may be a real conflict which the person may not even know how to articulate, between what they have been told maybe for years at home and what they are now being told, say, as they enter a community. And it can touch on the deepest recesses of the human spirit. Now it's here that I would advise to minimize the conflict, and it better be minimized. Totally eliminated, I think, is almost impossible in the world in which we live. Too many people enter any one person's life to make a neat distinction between he or she, that's my director, and everybody else, well, they don't really count. I would say, and this is on the part of the one giving the direction, two virtues are especially needed, humility and prudence. Humility in not trying, and how well I know, not trying to shape, without even realizing it, not trying to shape this soul that I'm directing according to my own image and likeness. Without a second thought, what else you might say can we do? We tend to try to fit people into the mold that we ourselves either have been living or that we think others need. And consequently, that I humbly look for and take some time. And before you give direction, I mean real, down-to-earth direction, find out as much as you can on how the Holy Spirit is guiding this soul right now. Because let me tell you, no human being, is ever to be a substitute for the Holy Spirit. And all that we've said about Catholicism stands. Sure, the Holy Spirit does use those in authority, those with certain positions of office, as you might see the agents or intermediaries for enlightening those in the church. Nevertheless, there is within each of us an immediate operation of the Spirit of God, which it behooves me to find out. And then, before I begin to direct, that I learn as much as I can about how the Holy Spirit has been directing this soul, so that I will help the person to discern the workings of grace in his or her soul, rather than say, well, you did this before, but from now on, it's this way. Now, there are many conformities that are necessary, say, in a religious community. Stands to reason. Otherwise, why be a religious? But I'm talking about, take for example, the manner of prayer. Some people find just using their imagination. In a matter of seconds, they can pictorially represent, say, the Bethlehem scene or the upper chamber where Christ appeared after his resurrection. And they can just spend an enjoyable hour just kind of roaming around, and they're in God's presence, engaging in what is not make-believe conversation with our Lord and our Lady. You get the idea? So we tell people, Mike, or you don't tell people, there ought to be more structure in your meditation. There should be a first and a second and a third. And the third part should have three subdivisions. Now, I'm revealing my own cast of mind. I'm forever dividing things and subdividing. I think once in my life I heard a student, and with a laudable sigh, when I made one of my branches on the board, not again. But as a priest dealing with souls, I can tell you, I just know the Holy Spirit is dealing with people very differently from the way He's dealing with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.